This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Rebecca Lavoie. Just about everyone who's ever shopped at the grocery store has instinctively checked produce for bruising or blemishes or put aside a can of beans just because it was dented. But there are a lot of people willing to eat for free what paying customers will not, even if they have to dig through a dumpster to find it.
You know, don't be afraid to grab the yogurt. Don't be afraid to grab the sushi. Don't be afraid to grab the cheese. If you hesitate just a second, it's gone.
New Hampshire native Alex Malice is head of Analect Films and the director of the short documentary Spoils, Extraordinary Harvest. The film follows a diverse group of so-called dumpster divers on their late-night journey to a New York City Trader Joe's. You can catch Spoils this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Colonial Theater as part of the Monadnock Film Festival. Alex, you followed several different dumpster divers in your film. What qualities or beliefs did they share, and how were they different from one another?
They actually came from quite a wide range of political or apolitical beliefs. You know, a lot of people associate dumpster diving with this so-called freeganism, which is a fiercely political ideology that sort of speaks to the idea that by living off the excess of society, you're making a political statement about the waste that we generate. Almost all the people I followed, they didn't explicitly talk about that, and they were more just interested in the free food. They were saying, hey, if there's free food, I want it.
What about their income levels? Are these all people who need to get free food, or are these people who could be buying groceries?
Yeah, every single person, both in the film and people that I met that didn't appear on camera, could certainly get by without this free food. There, I actually didn't really come across any homeless people or people who couldn't otherwise survive. And beyond that, the income levels were quite diverse. There was people who were on, certainly on the lower end of the income level, and there was people who certainly had a lot of money.
One of the people you follow really defies stereotype. He's clean cut. He has a nice apartment. Here he is showing the camera just a few of the treasure food products he's found in a dumpster.
Pasta from Italy. This is my walnuts. Beautiful cashews. Just like a dent in the can. This is the finest Dijon mustard I've ever had in my life. Wild Alaskan salmon. This I got last night. This is a nice find. It's got a crack in it. It's sea salt. Peanut butter, salt and pepper.
When you see this food in a pantry and away from a trash can, it's hard not to acknowledge what a waste it would have been to throw it all away. I have that very container of sea salt, for example, in my pantry. What are people sacrificing, though, when they eat this food from dumpsters?
I think the biggest sacrifice is time, actually. In the film, it's all sped up. The film is only 20 minutes long, and you get this whole process summarized. But in reality, you have to leave your home at 10:30 p.m., and you get out there, and you might end up waiting around. It's not exact, and then you have to actually do the dumpster diving, which could take 30, 40 minutes. Then you have to go home, and then you have to wash it. And the whole process can take 4 or even 5 hours, depending on the kind of night. So, as opposed to going to the grocery store where you're in and out and you pick what you want and that's that, it's actually quite a lot of time.
It is nighttime when everybody that you follow in the film finally collects in front of a New York City Trader Joe's. Can you describe the typical dumpster diving session? How many people were there? What time of day is it? All that stuff?
It really depends on the store, and this is constantly changing. There's really no golden rule, but generally it's after hours. 30 minutes after the store closes, they'll gather their, the day's trash, and they'll bring it out. This usually happens around 11 p.m., sometimes midnight. It can look like, oh, nobody's here tonight. But then as soon as these dumpsters are rolled out, 20 people come out of the woodwork, out of cars, around the corner, descend from helicopters. It's like they come from everywhere, and suddenly there's 20 or 30 people there.
Hey, Zed.
Oh, we got tomatoes and
blueberries and strawberries!
No, these are the, what's the name of
them? I
know that, they're like oranges. Get me the bag. No, they're red, they're green bag. On the front.
Oh, there's more potatoes.
That one. That has something in? Okay, so here. Mandarins, yeah.
One of the characters in the film sort of describes it as a free-for-all, and in many ways it is, but it's also very, for the most part, it's a very egalitarian process. People are sort of like, ooh, here's a bag of potatoes. I'll take what I need and then sort of announce, does anybody need any potatoes? Or, oh, here's, in the film some guy says, oh, cat food, but I don't have a cat. Does anybody want this? Despite the fact that I think people come from quite different backgrounds. There's people who I've seen there who don't even really speak English, or there's people, these hipsters or these these grandmothers and young people and middle-aged people, and no one really makes small talk, but they all sort of understand that they're there for the same reason, and there's this excitement that we're all doing something amazing, something secret, and something a little under the radar that we're all benefiting greatly from. And it's almost like a big joke. You know, you pull out these high-end organic, you know, packaged foods, and you're saying, what the hell, look at this. This is like, you know, I just pulled out a $20 hunk of cheese, and I'm just going to take this for free.
Oh, there's so much cheese!
Okay, I'm here.
All right, what do you want, double cream French?
No,
pita bread, oh, cheddar. Hold on, let me get you cheddar.
We should probably mention that in the film it is acknowledged that Trader Joe's is the best spot to dumpster dive, in contrast to, I think he mentions Key Foods as being the place that you don't necessarily want to go. And during the actual dive at Trader Joe's, somebody says to another diver, if the fish isn't cold, don't eat it. Did you hear about anybody getting sick from the food they were pulling from the dumpster there?
Well, first, yes, Trader Joe's is sort of the best place. And the general rule to follow is the higher end the grocery store, the higher end their trash is. So yes, Key Foods, Associated Market, these are sort of the lower end grocery stores in New York City. And generally the stuff they throw away should probably be left to be thrown away. But these places like Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, some of these smaller niche markets, they throw away some amazing stuff. And that's generally the place to go. Trader Joe's is so beloved because of the variety. You know, some places will just have bread, just produce, just this or that. You know, bakeries will have desserts, but Trader Joe's will have everything from eggs to produce to sea salts to, you know, spices to meats to sometimes beer I've even come across. I've actually never heard of anyone getting sick at all. Generally, the food that's thrown away is either at or past the expiration date by just one day. Some of the packaged foods have just a tear in them, or one of the eggs in the carton has cracked. A glass bottle has broken and spilled its contents over all the other glass bottles, and rather than just clean them up, they put them out. And yet, you know, there's it's just common sense. It's no science. If something is molding, you don't eat it. If something, you know, stinks, like something's rotting, you don't take it. And you know, I've never had any problems with getting sick or anything like that.
It seemed like a really short window of time between when the dumpsters get rolled out of Trader Joe's and when the garbage truck comes to pick everything up. Are grocers trying to stop people from finding food in their trash?
You know, depending on the store, they'll either look the other way or actively try and stop it. There's nobody that's putting it out and saying, here it is, everybody, come and get it. This is our policy to give it away. Trader Joe's has done a number of different things, from trying to time the garbage coming out with the arrival of the dump truck. They've tried putting it out throughout the day so that there's not one time. They've tried, calling the police on certain occasions. But despite that, there's still usually a way to get the stuff, to salvage the food. And I should also say that, you know, these grocery stores, it's easy to point the finger at these grocery stores for, you know, say, hey, what's the deal with all this waste? But it should be noted that most grocery stores do donate a lot of food. But there are certain standards that are set and are beyond the control of the grocery stores. Expiration dates, for example, they can't donate food that's past its expiration date. They can't donate food that's, you know, soiled with other food, you know, eggs that are cracked, or, you know, like I mentioned, the jars that are broken. You know, they just can't donate this stuff. They don't have the resources to clean it. They don't have the time. They don't have the money to deal with it. And to continue, a lot of this is dictated by consumer habits. When we go into the grocery store, as you mentioned in the opening, you know, when we're selecting produce, for example, we select the best-looking stuff. If there's a banana with a blemish on it versus a perfect ripe banana, we're going to take the perfect one. And so is every other person that comes in. And so that blemished banana, you know, despite the fact that it's perfectly good and edible, will end up in the trash every time.
Alex, what about your habits? Do you dumpster dive? Have you tried any of this food?
Absolutely, and that's how I ended up making this film. You know, I was dumpster diving quite a bit. I think it was for almost 2 years before I even picked up the camera. I heard about it from a friend, and I said, you know, really? That's incredible. I got to see this for myself. And I went there, and sure enough, on the first day, I came home with $100 worth of high-end organic food. From then on, I was eating like a king.
Well, Alex Malice, head of Analect Films, director, photographer, and editor of the documentary Spoils, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about your adventure and making the film.
Anytime.
Spoils Extraordinary Harvest will be shown at the Colonial Theater in Keene, New Hampshire this Saturday as part of the Monadnock International Film Festival. You can find links to the event and to his film at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. If you missed any of the program or just want to hear something again, head over to wordofmouthradio.org, where you can listen to past segments or share them with friends. Special thanks to Taylor Quimby, Zach Nugent, and Logan Shannon for their work this week. They've made this job, I don't know, kind of easy. I'm Rebecca Lavoie. Tune in on Saturday at noon for more Word of Mouth, and then on Monday, Virginia's back. Bet you can't wait. From all of us here at the program, have a great weekend. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Zach Nugent,
and Bill Barry.
And senior producer Rebecca Lavoie.
With plenty of help from our awesome interns,
Ali Kosmikas
and Logan Shannon.
Sarah Plord is our digital producer.
And Dan Colgan runs our board.
The views expressed in this program
are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR, its board of trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcast
and listen to past shows, go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook and Tumblr.
Follow us on Twitter.
And check out a playlist of music from the program
on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire
Public Radio.